Praise the Lord. It's been a great service this far. I believe God's blessing His work. I believe God is ready to pour out His fresh spirit of His anointing upon this place. And so thank you, Keith, for this opportunity that you've given us. Thank you for your prayers for our ministry. Praise God what He's doing in the world through the Word of God. We're seeing great results as we travel through the southern part of Africa. There's great things happening. People getting saved, people being restored, the church is growing. And so we thank God for His presence. But we do appreciate your prayers, as I said. Thank you so much. You know, sometimes I travel so much and, you know, thank God I've never had a major accident. And I give Him glory for that because He sustains us. He looks after us. I pray all the time. And, you know, the small things, sometimes we think those are small things in life, but it really matters. So I thank God for your prayers. It's great to have my mother with us this morning. She lives in Pretoria. And she'll be 89 this coming week. Praise God. Hallelujah. her sister that's older than her lived to 103 years old. So I don't know if it's in the genes. My dad passed away at 93, and so I might be around a little while still. Praise the Lord. How many of you got your Bibles with you this morning? Praise God. If you don't, if you have your cell phones, I know there's new technology. I know we're living in a different world. I still like the original King James Version that Paul used, you know. Now, it's great to be able to have a source of inspiration. Place where we can go to every day and draw strength from the Lord. And basically, I just want to share with you this morning about God's Word, about His Word. Because I think we all at a place, and we do get to places in our lives where we need strength, where we need encouragement. And so I find that God's Word is always a place that we need to go to. To be encouraged and to be enriched by His power. You see, God has given us, as His children, a privilege of praying and seeking God. But however, if you are seeking guidance, if you need some way of knowing to overcome your situations and your circumstances, we have the Word of God that we can turn to every day and draw strength from. And I like Psalm 119, and I know we all know that scripture, verse 105. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I have to be encouraged, even myself sometimes, to remind myself that, you know, sometimes we find we're in a situation where we don't know where to turn to, and yet we try and depend on our own strength and our own power to overcome those things. And yet God's word is there, and He says, you know, my word is a lamp unto your feet. I don't know how many of you found that, but we have to be reminded about these things. You see, it's basically like a spotlight. It's there before us all the time. The Lord says, you know, if you're in need of instruction, if you're in need of encouragement, my lamp is there. And sometimes we just don't, we have to remind ourselves about that. But the light makes things clear and visible. How many of us know that? And I know it's a simple principle. But we have to be reminded of these things. God has given us His word for direction and guidance in our everyday walk of life. And I think even today we need to realize that more than ever before, because we're living in a world of challenges. Things are changing. I think a few years ago, as children, You know, praise God, in those days we didn't have all the challenges I'm facing today in the sense of technology. I mean, you know, when you got home, if the phone rang, then you answered the phone. You didn't have to worry about carrying a cell phone around with you. And we become so obligated that, you know, I find people feel that they have to answer that phone when it rings. But, you know, we're living in a time that I do believe that there are challenges that are facing us more than ever before. We look around the world today and see that there are more challenges today than we've ever faced before. The Living Bible in Psalm 119 speaks of the words of God are a torch to light the path ahead of us to keep us from stumbling. So it's not just a source of inspiration for us, but it's also a source of helping us as we walk this journey. Because obviously we are tempted by things in this world. We face these challenges that we have to overcome. I like that he knows where we are to go, but after all, he is the one leading us, isn't he? He's the one that leads us into righteousness. He's the one that gives us direction every single day of our lives. It is not like we have to carry it with us, but we have to carry it with us in our hearts. You know, we get up in the morning and we go to work and we make sure we have our driver's license in our pocket because it's required of us. If we don't have it, we might get into trouble if we're traveling and driving a vehicle. But God's word is there for us that we need to enhance it every single day. We don't have to feel obligated to carry it with us, but we have to carry it within our hearts. We have to be at a place where we know that if we are in trouble, we need to have encouragement that we can draw from his word. I remember as a young child, my dad was a farmer, and probably at the age of 8, 9, somewhere around there, sometimes he'd say, "Joe, let's go hunting," and we'll, you know, go to the bush somewhere. And I'd remember my dad would have a torch on his forehead with, you know, the old kind of thingy where you have the batteries. And he'd say, "Now we're going to go hunting." Of course, it's totally dark. And as a child, you're petrified because it's dark. And I'd remember my dad would be the only one that has the light. And so I would just follow behind him wherever he goes, I'm going. And sometimes because of the dark around me and the fear that I had in my heart, you know, he would stop and I wouldn't see him and I'd bump into him. Or sometimes I'll stand on his heels and he'll say to me, "But you need to watch where you're walking." "Well, I can't see where I'm walking." You know, you've got the light on your head and you're seeing where you're walking. You know, this is kind of the way it is with God's word, isn't it? You know, sometimes we kind of wander around in the dark a little bit, and until God has reminded us and say to us, "Well, listen, you know, I am your light. I am your direction. I am the one that gives you, you know, hope in life. You have to depend on me on a daily basis." I believe that one of the reasons we are here in church this morning is because we need to receive some inspiration. We need to be inspired somehow by the word of God. You know, we come week after week, and sometimes, Pastor Keith, I wonder, I say, "Well, when are we ever going to mature?" You know, in myself, I wonder that sometimes. Why do we keep repeating scripture verses over and over? Why do we keep hearing the same messages over and over? But it's because, you know, we're at a place where God has to keep reminding us, "I am your light. I am your lamp unto your path. You have to draw strength from me on a daily basis." We know Psalm 23 is probably one of the best known psalms in the Bible. But David says in verse 3, he says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." For the sake of the God, for the sake of, you know, progress, for the sake of what we are doing, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's what we need to desire as God's children, to keep walking in the fullness of who God really is. I want you to consider something this morning. God doesn't want us to fail. That's not his purpose in life. He doesn't want you and me to walk recklessly or aimlessly down the path that we have decided or we are taking. He wants us to have direction. He wants us to succeed in life. Everything we do, that's his purpose. That's why we are called the children of God. I'm glad I'm not the child of the devil, because then it would have been different. And it was different when I was the child of the devil. But you know, he's given us hope in to achieve and attain things in our lives we've never achieved before. We have a choice to stay on the lighted path, or we can stumble out into the darkness. The choice is ours. And I know we have to be reminded, the choice has to be ours. The choice is mine every day, what I want to do, what I want to achieve, what I want to accomplish in life. You see, this can happen when we make our choices based on our own wants and desires and not follow the well-lit path that Jesus wants us to follow. Sometimes we just follow our own choices and our own desires. And how many of us know that we start failing and wondering why the presence of God is not amongst us anymore, why the presence of God is not inspiring me to be able to walk in the fullness of who God really is. You see, the choice is really ours. Every day when we wake up in the morning, the choice is ours. What we do, what we think, what we accomplish, those things are our choices. It says, He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. God has a lot at stake. His name's sake is at stake. And so you might say, well, what do you mean? Well, we are bought by an incredible price, each one of you. When we made the decision to serve Jesus, when we made the decision to follow Christ, we know that God laid down His life for us. He paid that price for you and me. And His name is at stake. Who we are, who we represent even today. Who are we really representing? When we leave this place, when we are about with our daily chores and our daily work, who are we really representing? Are we representing who Christ really is in us? God has a great investment in each one of us. And He wants us to succeed. But in order for us to succeed, we have to follow the lighted path, which is there free for us. I mean, we don't have to even beg for it. God is giving it to us. His word is life for us every single day of our lives. His lamp has to be carried by us. We have to be that example. We have to set that example of who He is in us. If we don't know His word, then we don't have a lamp to guide us. We will be led by emotions and circumstances that cannot lead us on the correct path. And sometimes we are led, folks, I know it. It's so hard. Sometimes we're trying to overcome and we're trying to walk the life that Christ really wants us to walk. But you know, sometimes our emotions and our circumstances dictate how we act and who we are in Christ. And we have to get to a place where we realize we have to be the image of Christ. We have to walk in His fullness. People need to see the only Bible maybe they'll ever see is us, Christ in us. They want to be like us. Sometimes we get upset about our circumstances and our surroundings and get annoyed about things. And when the taxi rides in front of us and does various things, I know that gets aggravating. But sometimes we have to realize through those things. I go to Mozambique. Those of you that have been to Maputo will know that traffic is horrific all the time, and they do things worse than they do in South Africa, let me tell you. And I have to come to a place when I leave and when I go and travel and do things in Maputo, oftentimes I just have to get to a place and I say, Lord, I have to speak to myself, just calm myself down and just say, Lord, I'm here because You're the one that'll give me the light, You're the one that'll give me the way, You're the one that's going to give me the peace that I need in the circumstance. I'm not going to get there by getting angry, because you're not going to get there any quicker. So I have to speak to myself all the time and realize that we have to continually be the light. Don't let our emotions and circumstances control us. There have been so many instances in my own life that I've needed direction for, that I've needed God to intervene. And many times I've had to turn to the Word of God and say, Lord, this is my situation. Father, I need direction in this area. I need direction in that area. And God will give me the insight that I need. We have to walk in the light of His Word continually. You see, many times His Word lit my path. He showed me the way to go when I didn't know any other way to go. He would open the Scriptures and He would show me somehow by his Spirit, he will birth it in my spirit and show me his way. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus, we see, is speaking to his disciples, and he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Sometimes we forget about that. When we are facing circumstances, we have to be reminded that he is our light. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have everlasting light. We need to remember and remind ourselves every single day. I remember some years ago when I first went to the central part of Mozambique. It's the early 90s, and I've shared that with you before about those blind people that I met in Mozambique. It was a group of about 12, 13 people. I happened to meet at a village one day, and all blind. And the government in those days would allow them to travel free on the trains, and so they could at least get from one place to the other. And I'll never forget the pastor. His name was Prego, which means nail in Portuguese. And we sat, and they were all Christians, born again of the Spirit of God. But he sat next to me the one day, and he said, Pastor, during the war, for some reason, my Bible got burnt. They had one Braille Bible amongst this group of people, and this was their pastor, Pastor Prego. And he said, so I don't have a Bible. I cannot read to my people. There's no, you know, inspiration for them. They need to hear the word, but we have it in our hearts as much as we can, you know, remember what we had learned of the word. And he said, if only I had a Braille Bible. So when Maggie and I went to the States, we inquired about getting a Braille Bible for them. And still, I didn't know if he could read Braille. He told me he could. So we looked around, and we realized the Braille Bible is quite expensive. In those days, it was about $500 for a Braille Bible. And so we were able to raise some money, and we bought a Braille Bible in Portuguese for them. And I remember going back to Mozambique. I'll never forget that day as long as I live. You talk about giving life to people. You talk about the lamp of God. I will never forget that day. I remember sitting in that village, sitting under the tree. And I told Pastor Prego, come and sit next to me on that little old wooden bench. And he came and sat next to me, and I said to him, I want to talk. I still didn't want to tell him that I had a Braille Bible. I wanted to make sure that he can read Braille, because he told me he had learned to read Braille in Malawi. And he sat next to me, and I took that Braille Bible and I put it on his lap, and I took his old finger and I said, Pastor Prego, I want you to see what this is and see what you think this is that you're going to read. And he put his old finger on the Braille, those little, you know, like raised little dots that's on the Braille Bible, and his old finger started feeling it, and these old blind sockets of his eye, of his face. I saw God starting to bring life and light into his very soul and his very being. As he started reading those raised portions of that Braille Bible, I saw that finger going faster and faster, and I said to him, you need to tell me what you're reading. And he started reading in Portuguese, and I could see that finger started getting more used to those raised little indents, and eventually he was reading the Bible with tears running down those old sockets. And I said, thank you, Lord, that at least I can bring life back into this village. I can bring life back into the lives of these people. Have to be encouraged. People have to know that God has given us the privilege of having a Bible so that we can see the light who Jesus Christ really is. Folks, sometimes we just take it for granted. Sometimes we leave it lying there for ages before we even dust it off and read it. But I want to encourage you, God has given us the Word of God to be a light for us every single day of our lives. I oftentimes wish I could find Pastor Prego again. That's many years ago. But John 16, verse 13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God has to come into our spirit. It has to come and take residence in our own lives. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And will tell you things to come. Knowing the truth of God's word is made possible by the Holy Spirit. We have to understand the Holy Spirit brings life through His Word. That's a source, that's where we can get inspiration from. Our Father cares for us even in the smallest areas of our lives. He will show us how to walk after Him. If we will take the time to learn His Word and also to listen. We have to know and study His Word. Without knowing His Word, we will have a hard time hearing and following the voice of the Holy Spirit. How much time do we really spend in the Word of God, the life-giving Word of God, every day? I want to challenge you this morning. If you've been neglecting that part of your walk with Jesus, is to find time to study His Word, and you'll see God start doing miraculous things in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit and the Word always agree together. It always blends together. One will never contradict the other. They always in unison together. And that is impossible for it not to be separated. Christians are often seeking the spectacular manifestations of God to show them the way or hear the audible voice of God. How many times we are looking for the manifestations? We see the greater crowds in this world are drawn because of the manifestations of God's power, which is wonderful. You know, we like the ecstasy. We like all what's going on, seeing people healed and restored and being born again, which is all wonderful. But oftentimes we ignore that small, still voice of God who needs to speak to us. That is on the inside of us. I think we live in a society where we are in such a hurry to do things that we oftentimes forget to listen to that small, still voice of the Holy Spirit. And that is the supernatural leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to be at a place with our times when we need to be quiet before the Lord. Get quiet in His presence and just listen. I've been in services in various places throughout Southern Africa, and sometimes I know people, especially our African people, love to sing, and they don't like silence, and you know, when there's silence, they start singing. But sometimes I'll tell them, we need to be quiet. Let's just be quiet before the Lord. And I've seen the manifestation of God's power start flowing in amongst those people, just being quiet and allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work amongst His people, and we start seeing healing in various areas taking place because we are willing to just be quiet before God and let Him speak to us. We know that communication is important. It is not only one person speaking, but there should be at least two people communicating. Oftentimes we don't give God a chance to speak to us. We just want to talk. And I think that's why praise and worship is important. But there needs to come a time when we just still before God and let the Holy Spirit do what He needs to do. We learn His voice when we learn His word. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." My sheep know My voice. You know, sometimes I'm very practical, and I sometimes wonder how many of times God will say, "Well, I really don't know that person's voice." You know, He might be going through in the morning and saying, "Well, you know, I thought I heard that some person gave their heart to the Lord, but I just don't really know that person. I've never had that relationship with that person." And so God is saying, you know, we need to know His voice, and He needs to know our voice, and He needs to know who we are. It's so amazing. But we need to have that relationship. We need to have that time of quiet. There's times in the morning when I When I have prayer time, I'll just sit before the Lord and let Him just speak into my spirit. There are times that I need to listen what the Spirit of God is saying, what direction I need to take. You know, we know that, and I'm sure you've heard that, even in the time of Palestine and the Jewish people, and even today in Israel, there are still shepherds. Shepherds looking after the sheep. And then at night when it's time for them to bring them back to the place of security and where they can be protected after spending the whole day being out in the fields grazing, we see most of them, all these sheep, get put in this enclosure. And it's not just from one shepherd, but it's from four, five, six different shepherds. They all bring their sheep together in this one enclosure for protection at night. And so they all mix together. And when the shepherd comes in the morning to gather his sheep together so they can be taken out for grazing again, we see he starts calling. Each shepherd has a different kind of call. Each shepherd has a different kind of tone in his voice and a different signal. And you will find these sheep will start moving amongst one another and following the voice of that shepherd. Eventually, they all separated, but each sheep knows the voice of their shepherd. And I think that's what Jesus wants us to be. In all this daily gloom and doom and things that are happening and the different voices we are hearing and things that are going on in this world, we need to learn to know the voice of the shepherd. He needs to be the one that's giving us direction. And folks, I've learned a long time ago, I don't just run after every revelation and everything that comes by and every wind and wave of doctrine. I've seen so many of these things come, and I'm not saying there's anything bad about it. But sometimes we listen to too many voices. I've found that in my life. You know, we listen to this voice and then tomorrow we're running after this fad and tomorrow we're running after this and tomorrow we're running after that. And God is saying, but I'm your light. I'm your light. I'm your lamp. You need to hear the voice of the shepherd. And we need to listen to the voice of who Jesus really is. Was Jesus telling the truth when he said, my sheep hear my voice? Yes. That's a question we can ask ourselves. My question then is, why then are so many Christians not hearing the voice of the great shepherd? We're running and following all kinds of waves and different things and people. But we need to start listening to the voice of the shepherd. We look at the scripture verse in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, the parable of the sower. And we see in verse 8, Jesus says to those that are gathered around, and we know before the previous scripture verses talks about, Jesus is talking about the seed that is planted or thrown, and some of them fell on the rocks, and some of them fell by the roadside, some of them fell on hard ground, and so on. And then in verse 8 he says, but others, these others, seed fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried and said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He says, on the good soil there's going to be good crops. There's going to be a hundredfold, he says. But then he says, he who hears or has an ear to hear, let him hear. He actually cried this out. The word says to us in verse 8. He said he cried out. I believe Jesus is saying that I'm begging you, start listening to the spiritual ramifications. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. I want you to understand what this parable is all about, because you don't understand. If you don't have spiritual insight in your life, you're not going to understand what I'm trying to tell you. He says, listen, I want you to hear. Don't just come to church and just sit through a service and leave the place and go away and come back next Sunday again and say, well, it's been a good service. Has the Spirit of God really spoken into your spirit? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to you, that He can be your light? He can be your inspiration. If we won't hear, He can't lead us at all. We need spiritual discernment. We need to be in a place where we can hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us in our individual lives, where we are every day and where we are going every day. We have the spiritual hearing. We just have to learn to tune in to that spiritual sphere of who He is. Our Heavenly Father wants us to succeed in everything we are given to do on this earth. We are His children. He wants each and every one of us to succeed, but we have to be close to Him. Firstly, we have already discussed that we have to know the Word of God. Once we know His Word, then we can ask Him for that spiritual edification, that spiritual input, that spiritual discernment that we need every day to discern what the Word of God is saying to us individually. Many Christians have never done this and need to learn the importance of discerning the Spirit of the living God. We have to understand that we do not hear spiritual things with our physical ears, but we hear spiritual things through the Spirit of the inner man. That thing that God has placed in us. I don't know how many of you know that, but there's been many, many times when I read the Word of God and God starts showing me things that I say, well, Lord, that's for me. I need that word, that encouragement. I need this word from You, Lord. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Our spirit has to be trained just like our flesh and our mind has to be trained. We have to learn how to hear spiritually. We have to be able to tell the difference between God's thoughts, our thoughts, and the thoughts that come in from other sources. How many of us know that's kind of a difficult area to be sometimes? And I'm not saying we need to walk on cloud nine every day, you know, and just say be in a spiritual mode. I know we can't do that. But we need to have the discernment in our spirit all the time. We need to know when the devil is trying to distract us and the devil is trying to entice us. These are things that we need to have a spiritual discernment about. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. How many of us are in Christ? I hope we are all in Christ here this morning. You know, because this is what it's all about. He says, we are a new creation in Christ. We're not the old man. We're not the old woman anymore. Amen? That used to walk in the things after the devil and the things that were carnal. We are separated from those things. We are new creatures today. And he says, old things have been passed away, and behold, things have become new. There's this new spiritual edification that takes place in our lives, a new walk with God, a new fresh outlook in our lives. Well, that's where we should be. And I know, you know, I've been serving the Lord. We got saved together in 1977. It's a few years ago. But continually, folks, I have to speak to myself, say, Lord, I'm not satisfied where I am spiritually. You know? Sometimes we get so, well, I was born in 1957 and, you know, I'm okay, praise God, if Jesus comes today or if I die, I'm going to heaven. But we have to have the daily walk with God. We have to be that light. We have to receive instruction from Him. We have to continually say, Lord, I'm not happy where I am spiritually with You. I need to grow to be the child of God that can influence this world for Jesus. We are a born-again spirit that has a life of God dwelling within us. This is where God speaks to us. Not our fleshly man, but the new born again man. He speaks into our spirit every single day. We have to hear the spiritual things of God. We have to be trained all of our life to listen. I mean, we have been trained all of our life, you know, to listen to the natural. And sometimes we have set aside our earthly training. You know, we've just been in a place where we've just been taught this is the way we need to serve God. This is the natural way. But God is saying we need to get to a place where we can start learning the spiritual things of God, how He impacts our life, how we can prepare ourselves. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. He shall direct your path. How many of us are going to sit back today and just say, Lord, just speak to me. Lord, I just need to hear from you. Father, I've been around people that just blah, 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 blah all the time. Just talk all the time. God says, you know, if you want me to help you, zip up, you know. Let me talk to you. You're asking me what I must do, and you come before me with all your complaints and whatever, but I can't get for you to keep quiet. I know some people like that. Even the natural, they don't know when to keep quiet. I'm not saying anything bad about that. We have a dear lady that I know that just has a problem. I want to buy her a zipper. You know how that is. It's not my wife anyway, but still. But I think sometimes God says, I need to give you a zipper so I can speak to you. And let you hear what the Spirit of God is really saying. You know? Don't allow life's many distractions from keeping you from the most important part. And that is to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I know it's not just sin, but I'm talking about when you hide God's word in your heart, when it's there, when you can draw from it every day, when circumstances and problems and issues arise, where you can say, yes, Lord, thank you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your word is true. Your word is powerful. You can be encouraged by His word. Every day we have to hide it in our hearts and not just use it when we come to church. For the word of God has been to be a lamp and a light for our daily journey, we have to also hide it in our hearts, as I've just said. Memorize it. We need to understand the word of God. We need to draw strength from it every single day of our lives. There are so many times that I've had to do that. I remember in the early years when we were living in Zimbabwe, and I started the work in Mozambique, still the last 3 years of the civil war. I would go and travel in Mozambique, and there was places you couldn't travel because there's landmines all over the place. But the Spirit of God had told me I need to go minister the word, and I'd go to all these refugee areas and we'd share the word of God. But there were times when God had just quietened my spirit, and I knew the Spirit of God was speaking to me. And He'd say, this is not the way to go. This is not the road to take. There's danger on the road. I remember one day going into Mozambique, the first little town is called Manica, and I happened to go to a little market there to buy some food, and a truck driver approached me just out of the blue. And he said to me, sir, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to Beira. He said, well, let me just warn you that you better not go because vehicles were just attacked on the road. I just basically passed that, and vehicles were attacked, and He said, let me warn you not to go. You see, the Spirit of God does these various things to warn us and to encourage us and say, be careful. Don't do foolish things, you know. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit dwell in us and start igniting that sensitivity to His Holy Spirit in various ways. I want to finish with this, and I'm sure some of you might have read it. Maggie's nephew the other day, a few months ago, asked me if I'd read this particular book, and maybe you've read it, I don't know. It's been around for a while. And it's called The Heavenly Man. How many of you have read The Heavenly Man? I tell you what, it's a life-transforming, changing book. It's just something that's basically done so much spiritually in my own life. Please remember The Heavenly Man. It's here at Coombe. Maggie went and bought it for me. It's about 200 and something rand. It's worth it. Yeah. Please just write it down. And if you can get that book, or Pastor Keith, if the church can buy one and circulate it, I believe it will really transform the hearts and lives of people. It's about a Pastor Yun, Y-U-N. He's a Chinese man in China. And how he was instrumental in starting the underground church movement in China. And he shares his whole life story. how God intervened, how they didn't even have a Bible, and how the authorities were chasing them all the time, persecuting them, putting them in jail, beating them. That's the lifestyle that they lived. After they had given their hearts to Jesus, as a young man, he'd given his heart to the Lord. They had no Bible. And he prayed, and you know, you talk about committed and the Spirit of God working in a person's life. I've never seen anything like this. And I know it's circumstantial. We probably would do the same if we're in that same situation. But he shares about the way that he was praying, and they would pray for hours and hours on end, asking God, Lord, all I need is a Bible. I need to study your word. They didn't have much education, but God, you know, I need to study your word. And God gives him a vision of this old man that was going to come to their little village in the middle of the night. And he said, it's about 2 weeks later, he hears this knock on the door in the middle of the night, and here stands the very person that he had the vision of. I mean, to the detail, to his face, everything, his white beard, everything. And this man brings him a package, and he gives it to him, and they take it into the house quickly, and he opens it and finds out he has his little Bible. And because the person, they didn't have Bibles in those days, and probably still struggle to have them today. And they started just absorbing the Word of God. That's why I was thinking about this, you know, just absorbing. They would apparently learn books of the Bible within 2-3 weeks, just to hide it in their hearts, because they knew the authorities would take it away from them if they found it, and then they would be in prison. That's that commitment of God in their daily life was just phenomenal. And so it talks about the many things that they endured all the time. The authorities were on their back. As soon as they heard people, they were praying in the mountains. They were praying, different areas in the rice fields, wherever they could find to pray, and spent so much time seeking the face of God. And many of them, him included, ended up in prison many times for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the one time he was in prison, they were interrogating him. Well, we want to find out who the other Christians are, who the other leaders are, where they are, because they want to imprison them. And he started acting like he's insane. And that's where they get this name, the heavenly man. He says, I'm a heavenly man sent by God. Where's your residence? My residence is in heaven. You know, he's just talking. And they thought he was, you know, off his rocker. So eventually they released him. But that's why they call the book The Heavenly Man. It tells a story of him being in, I think it's the last time he was imprisoned. They beat him. I mean, he couldn't even walk. They put him in a small cell, and he couldn't even stand up in the cell. And day after day, they interrogated him and beat him and went through all these things. But you know, he had no Bible. God had hidden his word in his heart, and he would quote scriptures, and everybody in that cell, all the cells that he was in, all of them got saved. I mean, every single, they were criminals, all murderers, all kinds of people. Everybody gets saved. And God said to him the one day, you're going to walk out of this prison. I think he'd been in prison for 5 years. He'd been there a number of months or whatever. And there was another preacher with him in the cell, and he said to him, you know what? Today is your day. You're going to escape today. And he said, God did so many miraculous things. Just out of total obedience to God, God just allowed him to do things that's just out of the normal way we do things. And this particular day, he just got up that morning. He was still crippled. They had to carry him to go to the bathroom and various places. But this morning, when this other preacher said to him, today's your day, apparently he got up and he started walking, and he didn't even realize it, but again he started realizing, man, I can walk. And God healed him, restored him. And he went to the first gate, and there was another prisoner coming from the bathroom back to their cell. And as they opened the gate, he whispered to him, just open, leave it open. There were guards standing there. He just walked out, kept on going. Apparently he went down the stairs, there's guards all over the place, went through the second gate. And then eventually he walked out of that prison through the third gate. all being guarded by these guards, and other guard must have blinded their eyes. But he walked out of there, got in a car, and left. There's a taxi that came and took him away. The miraculous things of God that happened in this man's life. And eventually he had to flee. Him and his family had two children. Well, he went through what was Burma, it's Myanmar now. And that story just continues. He ended up, Pastor Keith, it's just amazing. You've got to read this book. Somebody had given him a passport, said, yeah, take my passport and use it. He says, but that's not even my passport. It's not even my information. It's not even my picture. He says, just take your passport and God will provide and he'll. And he got to the airport to fly to Germany. And the official said to him, well, this is not your passport. Yeah, I know. You know? And he just, you know, persevered. And the Spirit of God starts rising in him. And, you know, the spiritual things of God start manifesting in his life. And next thing they just give him the passport and they say, go. And he ended up going to Germany with that passport that was not his own. The Spirit of God, what he can do. I tell you, this book has really transformed my life. Now his family and them are reunited in Germany. And in the book, of course, now he's in a Western world and things are totally different. There's no persecution. There's none of this being beaten up and sent to prison and whatever. So now he's starting to feel kind of disoriented because this, you know, I'm used to being in prison. I'm used to preaching to the prisoners in the cells and getting them saved. But in his book, he says, in China, the greatest miracles we see are not the healings or things, but lives transformed by the gospel. He says, we believe we are not called to follow signs and wonders, but instead the signs and wonders follow us when the gospel is preached. You know, that touched my heart. How many of us run after signs and wonders? That's why you have auditoriums filled. Because one or two people get healed and you'll have it packed out. But he's saying, we believers, we're not called to follow signs and wonders, but instead the signs and wonders follow us when the gospel is preached. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't keep our eyes on the signs and wonders, we keep our eyes on Jesus. He says, every house church pastor in China is ready to lay down his life for the gospel. When we live this way, we see God do great things by His grace. Totally surrendered to God. His word has become a total light to them. That's all they have. That's all they depend on. That's all they quoted. That's all they lived by is the word of God. And I said, Lord, what am I doing? I think I'm doing something for your kingdom when I read this book. I said, Lord, I just don't know. What am I really doing for you? Are we ready to be led by the Word of God? Are we ready to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself in our hearts and lives that we can see things in the spiritual realm? Let Him speak to us by His Spirit. Let Him quicken our spirits when we are needing help. Are we ready to be led by God's Word? I don't know how much freedom we still will have. It's a changing world. When I think of what's happening in all of these Eastern countries and Muslim countries, people, Christians being persecuted, decapitated, all these various things happening. We're not exempt from that. Things can change just in a flash of a light. And I'm saying, Lord, am I ready? Am I the heavenly man that I can have that faith, that I can draw from you every day, Lord, that I have that word hid in my heart that I... That's all he drew strength from. That's all. He would quote scripture after scripture after scripture. And God would encourage him all the time. And so he would overcome the battles in his life. Truly his word needs to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Are we going to live his word? Are we going to speak his word? Are we going to act his word? Are we going to share his word? Are we going to be led by His Word? Are we going to move by His Word? May we be challenged today, Lord. I just want to soak myself with your word. I want to become the true light and the lamp that you want me to be for the kingdom of God. Lord, may I be challenged in these different ways that I sometimes feel that I need so much encouragement in. But God, you're going to reveal yourself to each one of us. Father, use me for a new season. Father, may this be a new place in my life that I need to say today, Lord, Father, just speak into my spirit. Father, if I've not been obedient to your spirit, may I be at a place where I can become sensitive to your spirit. Father, just fill me and anoint me and empower me by your Holy Spirit to be a better person, to be a better Christian, to be a better disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we do that? Let us pray. Father, this morning we just want to thank you for your word, which has truly been a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, as God, as your children, we've walked many miles, we've walked many journeys with you, and sometimes we've failed, and sometimes we've fallen, and sometimes we feel we don't even want to get up anymore. But Lord, I thank you that you are the great shepherd. You are the one that encourages us every day. You are the one that brings life to us every day. And Father, may we pray that your Holy Spirit will start manifesting himself in each one of us, that we will walk in your fullness, that we will see the miraculous taking place because of our relationship with you. Not because we're looking for signs and wonders, but because we are obedient to your word and we are seeing the results of our obedience to your Spirit. Father, speak to us this morning. Father, may you awaken this church. May we, Lord, truly see the fullness of God empower each person in this building today, that we will walk with you every day. Thank you, Lord, that we can share your word, that it can be an encouragement to each one of us, and that we, Lord Jesus, this week will see the manifestation of your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.